On Call Jazz will be playing at 7 this Friday evening, May 12th, at Angela's Cafe in the Gallup train station, with special guest Artie Black on saxophone, who will also be playing a saxophone concerto by Alexander Glazunov at the Red Rock String Concert this Sunday afternoon at 4 in the First United Methodist Church, 1800 Red Rock Drive. This Friday's concert at Angela's Cafe will be a night of instrumental and vocal jazz. For more information, you may call 505-722-7206.
I'm here with Bill Krasmowski of the Red Rock String Ensemble. Hello, Bill.
Hi.
The spring concert coming up Mother's Day, May 14th, 4 p.m. at First United Methodist Church. You want to tell us about it?
I'd love to. Thanks, Rachel. We have a special soloist for this concert. Artie Black is a professional saxophonist in Chicago, professional jazz saxophonist, and also on the faculty at Wheaton College. And we're going to be playing a saxophone concerto. Not too many of those, but the piece that we're playing is by Alexander Glazunov, a late romantic Russian composer that wrote this piece toward the end of his life. I think it was written in 1936. Has become part of the standard saxophone repertoire, and we're proud to present this.
How did you come in contact with Mr. Black?
His sister lives in Gallup.
Ah, close connection.
And his sister used to be our pianist. I would also like to add that Artie Black's sister came out here as part of Teach for America and wound up staying. And so I would like to thank that program for bringing talented people to this region. Artie got his master's at Indiana University, which is one of the top music schools in the country. And for several years now, I've been trying to figure out a way to get him to play with our group.
So have you had any jazz collaborations before?
No, but Artie is going to be playing with the local jazz band on the Friday night before the concert, and I'll put in a plug for the On Call Jazz Quartet, and it'll be at Angela's Friday night on the 12th.
Oh, excellent. We need to do a public service announcement for that then. So when you have a shift in genre, and obviously there is classical music in this concert, but when you have an element such as jazz, how does that change things for the ensemble?
Well, modern music for classically trained musicians is a little bit challenging because it has keys that you're not used to, it has rhythms that you're not used to, and So we're working through that in our rehearsals, and but I think it'll be a very, very satisfying and pleasing result.
Another aspect that may not be explored is that the tradition of jazz also often involves some improvisation that you may not see as much with classical repertoire.
Correct. Although in this particular piece, there is a large cadenza, which is usually the soloist's chance to show off and perhaps improvise a bit. However, Glazunov wrote out, note by note, the cadenza for this particular piece. So if you want to hear improvisation, you'll have to come to the Friday night gig.
Very good. So this is going to start at 4. You recommend people arrive by 3:30 at the latest?
Well, 3:45. I think if you want to get a good seat, we have a large number of guest musicians filling out the ensemble. We have a number. We're doing a major chamber work on the second half of the concert, as well as Mr. Black is going to be doing a piece for solo saxophone, which is saxophone music like you've never heard before. So people who may choose to leave at intermission will miss some great music. We have a number of people from the New Mexico Philharmonic and from other regional orchestras that are playing with us on this concert, and I'm just really looking forward to it.
Are there any names that you'd care to share? We have some time.
Well, Justin Pollock, who plays with the New Mexico Philharmonic, is going to be playing in the chamber work as well as the ensemble. Beth Purvis, who plays in the El Paso Symphony and the Midland Symphony, played on our last concert, is going to be joining us actually for the third time. She played in last summer's performance of the Bach Magnificat as well. And we have several members of the San Juan Symphony playing with us this time, and it's going to be a fun concert.
So, in addition to Glazunov, of course, you have works by Evar Grieg, Paul Bonneau, Erno Donani.
Dosnanyi, yes.
Dosnanyi.
We actually the first piano quintet by Dosnanyi we played about 10 years ago, and so we're resurrecting that. He is an interesting composer, Hungarian composer who was a conductor before World War II. He was a pianist, and his works are heavily piano-based or influenced. He is also famous in that his one of his sons. You may recognize the name. One of his sons was one of the Hitler assassination co-conspirators who was then, at the end of World War II, picked up by the Gestapo and executed. And his grandson, Christoph von Dosnanyi, is a very famous conductor in the U.S. And sometimes you'll see the V-O-N prior to his name, and that's the German. So usually he's called Ernest von Dosnanyi, but if it's the true Hungarian spelling, it'll just be Erno.
How did you decide on the selections this time around? How did the opportunity to bring in Artie Black happen?
I've been hoping to get him to play with us for a couple years. We had him lined up a couple of years ago, and the piece that we had planned on just was too difficult for us. So I finally found this piece, worked on it, and I said, I think this is one that we can play. It's for string orchestra with solo saxophone, it's a beautiful piece. I think people will really like it. The Dosnanyi, I first heard at a concert by students at UNM, and I fell in love with the piece, and have subsequently heard it performed. He's a fairly minor composer because most of his life was spent conducting, but this is standard repertoire in chamber music. And it's one of the big piano quintets, and it'll really fill the concert hall. Interesting enough, this is an Opus 1, which means it was his first published piece, and it's a very mature work for an Opus 1, written when he was 18 years old. And it's a work that is very much that of a mature composer. The Grieg piece is basically what I call, some of it is Norwegian fiddle music. And I heard this on a recording, and our concertmaster played it with the White Mountain Symphony a couple of years ago, and she says, could we play this piece sometime? And it's folk music. It's very light, but it's just very, very pleasant music, and there's some fiddle music in with it.
Of course. Folk music, traditional music, has influenced classical music throughout the ages.
Oh, well, of course. In fact, many famous composers based a lot of their tunes on folk music. One thinks, of course, of Bartok, who was a musicologist of folk music, but much of English music is based on folk tunes, and so that's well within the tradition.
And of course, going back to that concept of folk music, before there were phonographs, before there were recorded musics, there were families who grew up with a musical tradition. And at every family event, it was a natural extension of that event that there would be some music. And many classical composers came up in that tradition.
And it really took the era of recording for these tunes to become widely known. And then musicologists would go out and try to record and write down these tunes. But definitely folk music, classical composers have taken those melodies and woven them into great works.
So for you, Bill, has an interest in musicology and the history of music come part and parcel as part of your musical upbringing?
Well, as I'm looking for music for our group to play, I listen to lots and lots and lots of music to try to choose pieces that I think will be that Gallup audiences will appreciate, and that Gallup audiences will be challenged by some composers they may not have heard of, sounds that they may not have heard. But as a friend of mine said one time, you should have at least one piece on every concert that everybody knows.
Given that this is going to be on Mother's Day, this concert, May 14th, it would not be unheard of that somebody might bring their mother along as a treat.
It's sort of a special day, and this would just be a fun way to give your mother a special treat. All of the music on this concert is very enjoyable, very accessible, and best of all, the concert is free.
The Red Rock String Ensemble with guest saxophonist Artie Black performing Glazunov Concerto, Saxophone Concerto in E-flat Major, Opus 109. It's going to be taking place at the First United Methodist Church, Mother's Day, May 14th, starting at 4 p.m. I think typically this goes until a little after 5:30. So, is there anything else that you might like to share with the listeners today, Bill?
Come out and join us. We always have a great response from Gallup audiences, and we hope to see you there.
Bill Krasmowski of Red Rock String Ensemble. I'm here with Artie Black, a saxophonist, composer, and educator based in Chicago.
That's right.
Are you currently on the staff at Wheaton?
I am, yes, just as an adjunct instructor. Mm-hmm.
Well, never say just. So you're going to be performing with On Call Jazz, playing sax this evening at 7, and then this Sunday at 4 during the Red Rock String Ensemble's performance. Glazunov is going to be the focus of your stint there, I believe.
That's right, yes.
It's the Saxophone Concerto in E-flat Major, Opus 109.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what that means.
Very official. I guess it's the 109th composition of Glazunov.
Oh, my God.
So that's where the opus number comes in.
Obviously, we know you perform. Have you ever played around with composition other than improv?
I have, yes. Most of my performing in Chicago is in jazz, and in the various groups that I play in, I often compose the music that we perform. So before I came to Gallup, I was actually in Florida on a short tour with one of the bands I play in and performing all original music that myself and another saxophonist had written. So lots of composing, mostly in the jazz style.
So we know there's going to be jazz this evening. We know there's mm-hmm. going to be some jazzy and classical performance this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
What are the genres that speak to you?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, definitely jazz is the main genre that I perform in most regularly, so I would say that is probably the genre that has spoken to me most throughout my life. But I listen to all kinds of music, but jazz and classical are probably the most frequent things that I listen to. So certainly classical music speaks to me in a really powerful way as well, but it's hard to pin it down into certain genres. I guess it's more broad than that in my view.
How were you first exposed to music that you recall? How did you develop a passion for it?
Well, my dad especially is very musical. He was always playing guitar, and he sings a lot. So from a young age, I was exposed to music that way. And my parents encouraged me, and my sister as well, to start with piano lessons from a young age. So I was exposed to it through that, and I took to music by playing by ear. I wasn't interested so much in reading the notes, so I would kind of do my own thing, for lack of a better word. And I guess that was where I started to develop a real interest and fascination in music, is just by creating things on my own and kind of exploring different possibilities in that way. And it's developed over many, many years, 20 years and more since then. My passion has just continued to grow, and I still am fascinated by the process of just exploring music.
The classical French composer Claude Debussy has been paraphrased often as saying that the music is what lies between the notes. Does that apply to jazz as well as other forms?
Absolutely, yeah. The space between the notes, I guess, we could say that the things that aren't planned, in the case of jazz, the things that aren't planned are the things that are most fascinating or most interesting. That little aspect of mystery in the music creates a fascination that I think the listener, as well as the performer, can relate to. And in classical performance, of course, there are things that are open to interpretation or are unexpected or unplanned that create a connection to the audience, which I think is one of the most powerful aspects of the music, definitely.
And if we look at improvisation generally, especially when you're performing with others, mm-hmm. the listening obviously is very critical. Mm-hmm. Is it not only the ears, but listening to the vibrations with your body?
Sure, that's definitely an aspect of it. I mean, one thing about jazz is some people perceive it as very intellectual, or that you have to know a lot of information about it before you can appreciate it, which can be true, I guess, in as much as there is a lot of information that you can learn about it, and you can appreciate it that way, more intellectually. But there's more, I would say, primal element of it, which is about the vibrations or the rhythmic aspect that doesn't need any prior knowledge. It just is a more fundamental kind of human experience of the music. So the vibrations, just the energy of the music, it's what it's all about. Yeah.
How important is it for not only performers but maybe audience members to understand the significance of the African and African American roots of the form?
I think it's essential, because without those roots, we just wouldn't have jazz. There are other influences that have come in. Certainly, classical music is an influence on jazz. And, well, nowadays there are so many influences that have combined with the music, but jazz is an African-American tradition, first and foremost. So I think that is a very important thing to know when you're experiencing, or especially when you're performing jazz.
You have been recognized over the years. Care to share any awards or recognition that you're particularly fond of talking about?
Well, I'm not sure how fond I am of talking about recognitions, but I'll say I've enjoyed success in Chicago, and I've been able to perform with lots of great musicians who I really respect and admire, and had a chance to do some recordings that I'm proud of recently with a group of mine called Black Diamond. We've finished a new recording that we're really excited about sharing.
As a teacher, what do you learn from your students?
Wow, how many hours do we have to talk about it? I think one of the biggest things I've learned through teaching, it's about music, but it applies to most areas of life, is that it's important not to judge yourself while you're attempting to do something creative. So what I mean is, I see in my students, they start to struggle with a new concept, and they place judgment on themselves, and they start to think, oh, well, I'm no good, I can't do this. And it's a big hindrance to them when they're trying something new. And often it's not even fair to themselves, I would say, because they're doing something that they've never tried before and they can't expect to have it on the first try, but it's a kind of natural human tendency to say, oh, I can't do this, I'm no good. So I think removing that judgment from the creative process is one of the biggest things I've learned, and one thing I try and hold when I'm performing or writing music or anything like that, too.
You've been exposed to various instruments and forms. Mm. Why the saxophone?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I have a clear answer, but when I was younger, I was playing piano, and something about the saxophone just drew me in. Maybe it was partly that it's a versatile instrument. It can perform in lots of different styles, or something just about the sound of it. For whatever reason, I was just drawn to it, even from a young age. And I guess that's all I can say. Just something about it drew me in. I've heard it said that the saxophone has a sound very similar to the human voice, or more similar than some other instruments, but I don't know for sure.
Are you old enough to remember the cool vibes of Bill Clinton playing the sax on Arsenio Hall, or having that referred to in shows like Animaniacs?
Yeah, some of those references, definitely I was around for Bill Clinton playing saxophone, yeah. And still people make those references to me from time to time. So, yeah, I'm familiar with those.
So is there a coolness factor to the saxophone?
I think there is, yeah. There's a perception that it's a cool instrument, I suppose. So I don't know. Maybe that did have an effect when I was younger, or even still today. Who knows?
Is there anything else that you think the listeners might like to know, either about your performance with On Call Jazz this evening at 7 at Angela's Cafe, that's downtown at the train station, basically, or for your participation with Red Rock Strings this Sunday at 4 at First United Methodist?
Maybe one thing that the listeners might appreciate is that this is the first time these groups have come together in this configuration. So tonight we'll be at the train station playing, and I've never even met these people that I'll be playing with. So that's part of the fun of music, is that we can get together, and in a short time, because we have a common knowledge or common practice of music, we can pull off a performance like this. And same on Sunday, we have a one rehearsal, and we've all been rehearsing our own parts, but we haven't come together yet. So it's this excitement of collaboration that's happening, and I think the listener might appreciate that.
Anything else that you might like to share?
Well, I'm just happy to be here at KGLP. I love coming to Gallup. My sister and her family have lived here for about 10 years now, so I've been to Gallup several times, and I'm always happy to be back.
Yeah, Bill mentioned that your sister came here via Teach for America, and so that becomes teaching is a very important part of your family's life.
Absolutely, yeah. Erin was a teacher at Church Rock Elementary. Now, she just had her second baby, so she's a stay-at-home mom. Her husband, Phil, is still a teacher in the area, and yeah, teaching is an important part of all of our lives. And Erin also is a musician, too. She's a great pianist, so we have the music connection there, too.
Whether officially or unofficially, parents do get involved in homeschooling, so I'm sure that's also going to be a factor.
Absolutely.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pennsylvania, just a little bit north of Pittsburgh, a town called Butler. And now in Chicago, I live on the north side of the city in a neighborhood called Old Irving Park. It's on the blue line for those who are familiar.
So was Slippery Rock University just a hop, skip, and a jump? It was a natural place to go at that time?
Yes, although I was taking saxophone lessons there in high school, but I actually attended Messiah College in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So Slippery Rock was close to where I grew up, though. That's where I was really first exposed to saxophone in a serious way.
And what have you learned about people during your performances over the years?
Oh, boy. In performance, you kind of experience people's personalities in a different way. And so I've learned more than ever that each person has their own sort of story to tell, which maybe sounds like a cliche, but in music, I think it really comes through how many different approaches there are to performing or to life. Just the differences in perception from one person to another can be really highlighted in music. And it's just completely exciting to me when you get together with folks and get a chance to perform and have drastically different approaches to the music. It can be a beautiful combination. So I guess that's one thing that I have learned.
Artie Black, who is going to be performing with On Call Jazz this evening at 7 in Angela's Cafe at the train station, the Gallup Cultural Center, and also performing with the Red Rock String Ensemble this Sunday at 4 p.m. at First United Methodist Church, focusing on the Saxophone Concerto in E-flat Major, Opus 109 by Alexander Glazunov. Hey, how well do you know Glazunov?
Well, I never met him personally, but I first played this piece when I was a freshman in high school. I didn't really play it. I studied it at the time for an audition, and so it's been kind of floating around in my brain for many years. And then I played it again a bit in college, and so I guess for almost 15 years I've been exposed to the piece. It's one of the most well-known saxophone pieces for classical ensemble.
What are a couple of your favorite jazz pieces to perform on sax?
Well, lately, I guess it's always changing. I'll list a few things. Lately, I've really been fascinated by the saxophonist Joe Henderson, and there's some albums of his from the 1960s that I really love. One is called In and Out. There's another one called Our Thing, and those are when he was playing with the trumpeter Kenny Dorham, and just the combination of their approaches lately has really been captivating me. And another I really love is Billy Strayhorn, the pianist who worked with Duke Ellington. And one piece of his in particular is called Star-Crossed Lovers. I've really been drawn to that one recently.
Lush Life.
That's another beautiful one. He was from Pittsburgh, as a matter of fact, Billy Strayhorn.
Well, I got one last silly question.
All right.
You've probably listened to a few radio jazz shows, so why do you think, in jazz more than anything else, the show hosts tend to focus so much time on describing who's in the band, how it happened?
Why do I think they spend so much time on who's in the band? That's a good question.
Just conjecture.
Yeah, I guess, well, it is fascinating with jazz to combine, I mean, any music, really, but jazz has a lot of really colorful personalities in its history, so I think part of the joy of experiencing jazz is learning about these characters like Thelonious Monk or like Lester Young or all of these people throughout the history of jazz who have just been such vibrant and unique personalities. So maybe that's part of the reason, is just to gain some more insight onto the music and learn about these really quirky people.
Well, thank you very much. I've been speaking with Artie Black, who is going to be performing with On Call Jazz this evening at 7 in Angela's Cafe at the train station, the Gallup Cultural Center, and also performing with the Red Rock String Ensemble this Sunday at 4 p.m. at First United Methodist Church, focusing on the Saxophone Concerto in E-flat Major, Opus 109 by Alexander Glazunov.